Turn to James.
No kidding. But we're not going over a creepy part. Maybe someday. I really do want to teach James. It's such a different book. James, Jesus' brother and everything.
Did you know that?
The book of James, written by Jesus' brother James. That, like, grew up with him and stuff, which would be a weird thing. I know it's been said a lot of times, but you wouldn't like your mom, Mary, if you were Jesus' brother, and she was always comparing you to him. And he didn't believe in Jesus, actually, while Jesus was around. He was not into that stuff, but afterwards he came to faith, which is pretty cool. And he ended up actually leading the church in Jerusalem, which is also really cool. Well, now that you're in James, let's make it chapter 5 tonight. If you still don't know where James is, it's near the end of your Bible after Hebrews, before 1 Peter. And tonight, I just have some things that are very practical, very simple to say. I guess sort of... That's too high. All right, there we go. But yeah, very practical, very simple. I mean, we're here together, and what we're going to talk about is being here together. And so that's really, you know, that's really it. To look at some aspects tonight of, you know, healthy fellowship together. And if you didn't know, you need to know, God desires that for us. He desires us to have intimate fellowship with each other, with those surrounding you in this very room. He desires intimate fellowship for us. And you know, we know the main reason that we gather here. We've thought about that. We pretty much have that, you know, as the focal point of every week we're here together. But we know, you know, we're here to hook up with God. We're here to praise God. We're here to understand God's will. We're here to worship God, to hear Him speak into our hearts. That's the primary reason. Actually, if you didn't know that, if you didn't know that's the primary reason we're here, now you do. We're not here for social hour. We're not here to, you know, find girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. We're not here for a concert. We're here for a real encounter with the Lord and real fellowship with the Lord, to worship the Lord as a fellowship. But that really brings me back to the point that our time with the Lord isn't really where it ends. It should cause some great things to happen in our midst. And that's the most important thing. We don't want to miss out on something else that's really important. And the result of our time with the Lord should be that time of intimate fellowship, real fellowship with each other. God desires us to grow in our relationship with Him. We know that. But God also desires that we grow in our relationships with each other. James gives us some practical wisdom on that, some practical application. He gives us some awesome spiritual insights, some benefits to that healthy fellowship. And he does so in chapter 5 of his epistle. Let's go ahead and read. I guess we'll pick up tonight in verse 13. James 5:13, where it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." We'll stop there. This passage is small. It doesn't really require explanation. It's more of a, you know, an exhortation, a command, an encouragement towards edification, and that's really followed up with an illustration. It's real simple, real straightforward, but it's been on my heart for the sake of this ministry and our ministry time that we hold here as a group before, during, and especially after the services. I wonder if we're utilizing it, and by that I mean that ministry time where we're offering communion and the chance to pray together, if we're using that to be all it can be. This little passage covers many areas. It's just 5 verses or so, but we see those suffering need to pray. We see those who know the joy of the Lord need to worship. We see those with physical problems should seek
prayer.
We see the importance of praying in faith. In fact, verse 15 reminds me a lot where it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will... if you go back to James chapter 1, go ahead and turn back there real quick. It should be like two pages or something. But check it out in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You can go back to 5. A double-minded man, not asking in faith. So we need to have that faith. We need to believe. And that's pretty simple too. But as we see these things, utilizing that time properly, seeking prayer, praying, we see the importance of not only praying in faith, but the benefit of having praying friends right there in this passage, of accountability to each other. You know, someone close, we can say, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. And they go, ah, that's terrible. Let's pray about that. But, you know, that sort of accountability, that's a good thing. This is time we should use. Everyone wants to be strong so bad. You know, I want to stay strong. I'm not going to need, you know, I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to be weak or whatever it is. You know, I don't need that personal stuff. Well, you know, Paul said it's in weakness that God's strength is made perfect. It's in weakness that he's strong. It's in weakness that we're strong. It's when we admit our shortcomings that we find victory over them. And that's, you know, one of many great paradoxes of Scripture. In fact, our Easter study, that's what we're going to be looking at. You know, God's upside-down kingdom and how that relates and how everything pretty much is just this amazing paradox. You know, the world tells us one way, but we find something different within God's truth. And so, in weakness, we are strong. We need to utilize that time. But we have a silly way of interacting in general. As a society, a culture, a world, you might have noticed, they start us out at an early age. I mean, when we're kids. I got this write-up here that's from this toy festival they had for, you know, introducing new toys for the market and stuff from all over the world. I'm going to read it to you. Now, Kristen, I'll tell you which one of these she thought was a cool toy later. But this is pretty bad. Anyways, check this out. This is what is new on the market for children today. Among the anticipated products at the February American International Toy Fair in New York City, according to the New York Post, were a gun that shoots boogers, a squeezable doll that smells like rotten eggs, a flea based on a pro wrestling character that emits rank body odors after warning, "I'm gonna blow," and a dissectable brain that oozes slime. Also at the show, and this is the one my wife liked a lot, St. Petersburg, Florida, inventor Tim Engler was pushing his pump-operated heavy squirt gun artillery that mounts on bicycles. Now, that sounds fun, but can you imagine, you know, you go to... Ooh! I mean, I can just imagine thousands of kids falling on their head as they try to shoot other people with slippery water on bicycles. Anyways, not at the fair, but currently a hot internet pass-around ad. Okay, now we have a colored poster for Japan's Kaba Kick Hippo, a pink toy gun shaped like a hippo that appears designed for children to play Russian roulette, but with the loser merely getting kicked in the head by the hippo instead of course, getting shot in the face or whatever. That's the Kaba Kick, those crazy Japanese. But they're fun. Anyways, they start us at an early age. We have strange ways of interacting. You know, oh, here's a toy. Go shoot boogers at kids, you know. And so we grow up in this odd thing. And yet the Lord offers true fellowship. He offers true intimacy with each other, a real personal basis, something that is so much more than I know I ever experienced in the world, in my relationships in the world. We use that word, fellowship, a lot. It's a very churchy word. In fact, I don't hear it used anywhere outside of, you know, some sort of church gathering or whatever, except I can think of in Lord of the Rings. And it's the Fellowship of the Ring. All those guys in the Fellowship of the Ring, they're united. They have a common purpose, a common goal. Get this ring where it needs to go. Protect Frodo Baggins or whatever. So that's a Fellowship of the Ring. Well, a fellowship is what the Lord provides us. The fellowship God provides us in each other. It's that same sort of thing. We have a common purpose. We have a common goal. We are united around a common Lord. In fact, God is the source of that fellowship, and His purpose in it is our edification. There's practical uses there. Our comfort, our camaraderie, that's the cause. And 2 Corinthians says that God comforts us not so we can be comfortable and just, you know, sit around, I'm comfortable, you know, oh, that feels better. No, so we can pass it on. We're supposed to be like comfort relay stations. You know, it comes down, we dish it out. Otherwise, you know, that's living water. That's the work of the Spirit in our lives. If we don't get rid of that water and, you know, hook up, get some more or whatever, if we're not passing that around, if we're not truly fellowshipping, if we're not handing it out to other people, you know what happens to water when it sits in the same place and doesn't, you know, keep moving? It gets stagnant. It starts to stink. So we need to be like relay stations in that sense. That comfort, that camaraderie, the cause of God's edification in us, our fellowship, He's the source. It's His purpose that we'd be edified. It's got a practical use. The world makes a terrible counterfeit of this, as I said. And I thought that I was really having some good times with people back in the day. And I read this thing and it reminded me of my friends. And this is another... I love news stories. You guys love them too, right? Anyways, here's another one. Have you heard of Gansing? Anyone? Nobody's heard of Gansing. Kristen has. I read it to you. That's cheating. Anyways... Gansing is this new trend, like around in the metropolitan areas. Have you heard of the term metrosexual? Yeah. Okay. Now, this is something that's really big with the metrosexual movement. Metrosexual is basically like guys that would seem to be gay but aren't really. They're just sort of foppish, you know, guys that like the most expensive hair stuff. And it's very, downtown kind of stuff. But anyway, and it's a big joke, of course, all over the place. You know, oh, you're the best metrosexual I know. But anyways, this thing says, Wireless Flash, New York, the metrosexual movement may have gone too far. Now straight guys are trying to dance with each other instead of women. According to the upcoming issue of Stuff magazine, the hottest dance trend in New York clubs is gansing, a term for when guys boogie-oogie-oogie together. One popular Gantz step features one guy pretending to be a shark while his pal runs away in fright. Another manly move, I'm not kidding, this is big stuff. Another manly move has the guys pretending to be kangaroos complete with pouches and Foster's beer. It sounds gay, but editor Bill Schultz says, Gansing is actually a carefully choreographed way that straight guys use to meet women. In fact, one Manhattan travel agent says he gets more phone numbers from ladies from doing a dance routine where he pretends to give birth to a pal than he ever did hanging out in the bar. So that's Gansing. Now, I know he says, you know, it's not, you know, he says it's not, you know, and girls are in, I don't know, somebody, you know, you shouldn't be at the bars in Chico, but next time you see someone in there, see if that works, you know, start running away from a guy like you're frightened that he's a shark, see how many girls start turning your way. I don't think so. I think they're going to go, oh my gosh, look at those guys. Okay. I don't know. The wacky thing, that was real big when Jim Carrey came out. And I don't know, I think girls are after cool guys again. I don't know, girls are fickle creatures. But that's not the point. What? Okay, that's not the point. And I don't know who are the people. There might be people who have heard about this and are actually starting the Gantz movement in Chico. You know, we're out Gantzing. It's probably the same people that played with the hippo toy when they were a kid or whatever and, you know, got kicked in the face. But all that to say this... I think I've learned a lot about true friendship, true fellowship in these past few years that I didn't know before. And, you know, I had the best friends you could possibly have, that you could possibly imagine when playing by the world's rules. You know, very committed, you know, sort of friendly relationship, very much, you know, in each other's lives all the time, and throughout junior high especially and on into high school. And I thought that was an amazing thing. I thought those relationships were as good as it could get. But all those relationships pale in comparison to even a lot of the comfort that I found in casual relationships within the church, within this fellowship here, with a lot of you guys. And that's a comforting thing. Even the more casual relationships, as I said, there's a greater degree of joy. There's a greater degree of understanding. There's a greater degree of so many things now. Then when I'm with my old friends, I realize, wow, this wasn't as cool as I remember it. And I know part of that's because I've changed, and part of that's because, you know, they've moved further down paths that we may have started on together. But now I notice, you know, I'm somewhat saddened. I'm somewhat unsatisfied. I'm somewhat uncomfortable by hanging out with those same people. I used to think, you know, it doesn't get any better than this. And, you know, I find myself not hanging out with them so much for, you know, friendship reasons anymore as I do for ministry reasons. Just so that, you know, I want to, you know, talk to them occasionally, update them on my life, find out what's going on in their life, and try to, you know, impart, you know, that much wisdom. I don't know. Whatever I can do, whatever God can use. But all these things are so changed and so, you know, different because of what the Lord has done. And that true fellowship, the intimacy of true fellowship that we have as a church body, not only in this room, but, you know, just with the church at large, is really an amazing thing. It's not something we should take lightly. It's not something we should dismiss. It's not something that we should, you know, forsake to utilize, to really get all that we can out of it. And just one aspect of that would be, you know, that, you know, as we're moved on, as the Holy Spirit moves on our hearts, when we come to a service like this or whatever, we have different things that we might be concerned about, or, you know, we might want to lift up, you know, get up here, lift them up, share them with people. And, you know, it happens a lot of times where I'm sitting up here, I'm like, okay, if anybody, you know, wants to pray or whatever. So I sit down, I get a drink, and, you know, I'm like about to like fall over because I'm really tired. But, and then somebody will come up, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, somebody wants to pray. That's cool. You know, God gave him boldness. And they're like, oh, can I have the chords to that song? I'm like, oh, and that's fine too. I'll give you chords to any song you want. But let's not neglect that time. Let's not, you know, neglect the time to be up here as believers, and not just up here, but, you know, out in the lobby. You know, whenever you see someone and you know you can fellowship on those real spiritual levels, that's something greater than the world knows. Last night we got some bad news. Kristen's cousin, my cousin-in-law, Becky, has gone into the hospital. In fact, she had to be flown down today. Her kidneys have failed, and she's got hydrocephalus, all this terrible stuff. And you can keep that in your prayers. But the first thing I did, I heard that news, and then I was down in the bookstore last night, Saturday night service, and, you know, Miguel walks in. And I thought, oh, there's Miguel. You know, he's my buddy. He's a man of prayer. And so I said, Miguel, you know, I immediately told him what was going on. And I, you know, I lifted up the concern to him, and I said, you know, tell your household, you know, if you guys, you know, if you think about it, you know, be praying for that thing. That's a vulnerable kind of fellowship. That's a real kind of relationship. And that I can say, you know, pray for that. You know, you tell that to people on the street, they're just going to laugh at you. All right, you know, that'll make a difference, you know. But we know it does. The fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Don't worry, that's a generic term. Girls, you have to pray fervently too. But we know, we've experienced, we've seen God's blessing. We've seen His work. And so we need to rest in that, and we need to have faith when we pray. We need to share our prayer requests with one another. We need to do all those things. Pray for each other when we're sick. Pray when we're struggling. Have someone you're accountable to. You know, beyond just the Lord. If you're struggling with something, if you're struggling with a certain sin, say, you know, I'm struggling with this. Find someone that you can talk to about that thing. And don't tell them more than they need to know. But just say, you know, this is what I'm going through. If you could pray for me. And watch it change. Watch it happen. Watch God work together. When there's fellowship around something, when the fellowship is united with a common purpose, with a common goal, then it's so much easier to see God at work. See, if we were, you know, if all we were left here to do was just, you know, worship God and study His Word or whatever, we wouldn't need to gather together to do it in a more effective way. We would just sit at home, and that would be the best we could do. And some people think that's the best they could do, but they're missing out. You need to be in fellowship. You need to have fellowship. You need to be in an intimate and accountable relationship with people that are, you know, somewhat on your same mindset, somewhere, you know, near your peer group. It's not enough to just sit at home and read the Bible and think, you know, that's enough and you can just go off and do whatever in the world other than that. That's not how it works. God calls us to real and intimate, true fellowship. And we need to take advantage of that regularly. That's what unity in the Lord will do. It's a common faith. It's a common understanding. That's common ground. It's what it leads to. And where there's that common faith, where there's that common ground, where there's that common understanding, we're going to find growth. We're going to find hope. We're going to find change. And we're going to witness that together and grow in our relationships even more. So let's pray. Lord, I do, again, thank you for your word and how real it is, and how much it speaks into our lives, for the encouragement in this passage, ways we should pray, ways we should seek prayer, ways we should interact with each other. Lord, I lift up the concerns we've addressed tonight to you. I pray that you would do your work and show us how we might take advantage more and more of the fellowship you provided us in each other here. And let us, of course, not lose sight of the most important thing, that we worship you, that we grow closer to you, Lord. But let the fruit of growing closer to you be that we grow closer to each other, that we build strong relationships, strong ties, supporting ties that bring us closer together, bind us closer together, and truly make us that fellowship united with the common goal, the common purpose, to serve you, to see your kingdom grow, to grow in your grace, to grow in the knowledge of you. So, Lord, do that work in each of our hearts, however you might change us on the inside. We can only reform our character so much, or our actions, Lord, but ultimately we need a heart change. We need a change of motivation, a change of vision, a change of direction, Lord, that can only come for you. I pray for it now, for any of us that need it. Believers, you can continue to pray. If you're here tonight, though, and you don't really know how to tap in or how to even understand or comprehend anything I'm talking about, because, you know, you aren't a part of Jesus Christ Church. You haven't opened up the lines of communication between you and him. You haven't interacted with God. You haven't had fellowship with him. You haven't had intimacy with him, because you haven't come to know him the only way he makes available. It's a free gift of salvation, and it's given to us when we accept it freely as a free gift. And that gift of salvation is because Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just for sins, or not just for my sins, for your sins, for everybody's sins, for our sins. And to as many believe that, he will make sons and daughters of God. If you believe that tonight, if you know you don't have that peace, you don't know God, you don't have intimacy with God, you don't know your sins are forgiven, you don't know that if you were to die tonight, you would be in his presence, in his glory. And if you're not sure of that tonight, don't harden your heart. If the Spirit of God is talking to your heart right now and telling you, this is the way to go, this is what I have for you, I've called you to this place, it's not an accident, it's not anything that I'm saying. If you hear the Spirit telling you that, if you know that this is God's plan for your life, again, don't harden your heart. And if you want to pray a prayer of salvation tonight, you can pray one in your heart. You can open that line of communication. You can say, Lord, I accept your free gift of salvation. I want to know you intimately. I want to have a relationship with you. Wash me by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Make that count for me, and help me to live my life for you. If that would be your prayer tonight, I invite you, wherever you sit, to simply raise your hand up, and you can put it back down. Will there be anyone here yet to pray that prayer? Just a little bit more to consider, if you're ready to do that. Lord, I just come before you again. I pray that if you are doing business with any hearts that are here that do not know you, Lord, and are struggling and striving against you in this time, Lord, I pray that you'd manifest yourself to them, that you'd make yourself real to them, that they'd stop running, that they'd just come to know your love and your purpose, your plan for their lives. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who does know you and is struggling with being on the fringe or feeling like they're on the fence. Lord, just help those hearts to surrender to you, to give it all over. And help us all to know and experience that In our weakness, your strength is made perfect in us. And in our weakness, we are strong. I pray that we'd be bold to this world and vulnerable to each other and to you. Thank you for loving and saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.